Tehillim chapter Yud Ches, North End and Kolel, Shegev Magash and Hepner, on Sunday, 29th of May, 2011, Kaf Hei Iyar, Tavshin Ayin Aleph. Okay, so let's just run through that first pasuk again. Chapter Yud Ches Pasuk Aleph. L'Amnesech Le'Eved Hashem, a song for the conductor by the servant of God, Le'David, by David, Asher Dibel Hashem, who spoke to God, Estivi Asher, as is the words of this song, Biyom Hitzel Hashem Eser, on the day that Hashem saved him, Mikaf Kol Oivov, from the palm of all his enemies, Umi Al Shaul, and from the hand of Shaul. And, last week we took a look at some of the first year, shown him in a few Medrashim. Coming back to the Medrash Shechatov, last week we said over a couple of pieces from the Medrash Shechatov. We'll continue with the Medrash Shechatov. The Medrash Shechatov speaks on this pasuk on the expression "B'yom Hitzel Hashem Miatovah." We're in the middle of the Medrash Shechatov. Yeah. Medrash Shechatov asks a question that we've asked already. What does it mean that Hashem saved him? Did Hashem save David all on one day from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Shaul? Of course, we've got the major question as well. Why is it that Shaul is? Why is Shaul? Surely Shaul is included within Ovov, his enemies. Why is Shaul highlighted in our pasuk at all? Surely he should be included. So we'll see different mepharshim tackle this. The Medrash Shechatov says that if an enemy is from within Klal Yisrael, then that enemy is far, far worse than any other type of enemy. And he quotes the pasuk from Shoftim, Book of Shoftim, and it's chapter Tesvav, pasuk Yud Beis, when Shimshon was at risk of being handed over to the Plishtim. And let's have a look at this. Chapter Tesvav, it's Shoftim, chapter Tesvav, pasuk Yud Beis. Vayemulo le'esarcha yaradnu le'sitcha b'yad Plishtim. The people from the tribe of, I think it's from the tribe of Yehuda, let me check it out. Yet the Bnei Yehuda came to hand Shimshon over. Don't forget, Shimshon was enemy number one as far as the Plishtim were concerned, and the people from Yehuda, the people from the tribe of Yehuda, came to hand him over in order to get the rest of the Plishtim off their backs. The Bnei Yehuda were quite prepared to hand Shimshon over to the Plishtim, and Shimshon turned to them. Vayemenhem Shimshon. Shimshon said to the people from the tribe of Yehuda, Hishavu li pentifku in biatem. I'm hereby making you swear that you're not going to attack me, you're not going to do any harm to me. The enemy being from within Klal Yisrael, because the Bnei Yehuda were quite prepared to hand Shimshon over to the Plishtim. The Plishtim were attacking the Bnei Yehuda, and they're saying, we want that man Shimshon. So to keep the Plishtim quiet, at bay, the Bnei Yehuda were, amazingly enough, prepared to hand him over to the Plishtim. So he turned from Don. He came from Don, but he was a Jew, right? A Jew is a Jew is a Jew.
And with his friends in Don, were they saying no? We're looking after him.
I don't know the rest of his tribe in Don. That I don't think they feature in this particular incident. But what does feature here is that the people from the tribe of Yehuda were quite prepared to hand him over to the Plishtim. So it was amazing.
Oh, of course,
yeah.
You can't just say, they're bad people. You've got to quote
the Racha. At any rate, they said to him, this is from Sefer Shoftim, chapter 12, Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayemulo, the people from Yehuda said to Shimshon, Le'esarcha Yaradna, we've come to imprison you, Le'sitcha V'yad Plishtim, hand you over to the Plishtim. Vayemulhem Shimshon, he said to them, Shimshon replied to the people from Yehuda, Hishav Uli, swear to me, Pentifgun B'yatem, that you will not harm me in any way. So he made them take a shvur. So it's highlighted, the Medrash Shechatov quotes this pasuk to show you that in a way, the people from the tribe of Yehuda presented a greater threat to Shimshon than the Plishtim themselves.
Because Shimshon knew that if he'd been put into prison and left there for a little time, his hair would grow and then he wouldn't be able to break out himself.
Yeah. Could be. Interesting. Yeah. Could be. Yeah.
Which he did.
Yeah, did he break away from prison? I can't remember now. when eventually the Plishtim did get him, of course. Okay. Good. Oh, Yalkut Miyamlo is on our posuk. Speaks about this expression of Le'evet Hashem. The Talmud refers to himself as Le'evet Hashem, and he points out that the Yalkut Miyamlo says that David is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "You have saved me from my enemies and from Shaul, despite the fact that I am merely your Eved, and that I have not reached the higher Madrigal of being considered your son. If I'd be considered your son, then I understand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you'll pull out all the stops to save me, for the love the father would have for a child. But I'm not. I'm merely your Eved, and nevertheless you save me. So for that I give you tremendous thanks." He also points out what we have in our pasuk is Mekaf Kol Ovav. We're going to do this in a few different approaches. We have Mekaf Kol Ovav. David says, "You've saved me from the palm of all my enemies, Umiyad Shaul, and from the hand of Shaul." Now you've got a slight change there in expression from Kaf, a palm, to Yad, to a hand. But compare it with what you've got there in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis. Pasuk Aleph. Now, David Tovid Hashem, the original Shira David. By David Tovid Hashem, Estuvei Hashira Hazos. The Yom Hitzim Hashem, on the day that Hashem saved him, Mekaf Kol Ovav, from the palm of all his enemies. That's the same as we have in our pasuk, Umekaf Shaul, and from the palm of Shaul. So we have a change between Shmuel Beis and Tehillim. In Shmuel Beis, it's described as Umekaf Shaul, from the palm of Shaul. Yet here we have Umiyad Shaul. So there are a number of different approaches to this. Commenting on our pasuk in Tehillim, where it's written as Umiyad Shaul, the Yalkut Miyamlo says that Yad is worse than Kaf.
That is worse than Kaf.
Yeah.
In Kriyat Shema, after Shema in the evening, it's a Kaf.
Mekaf Kol Ovinu. Is that what it says?
Yeah,
Kaf. Say again?
Mekaf.
Mekaf Kol Ovinu. Mekaf Kol Ovinu.
What's the hand of the Mitzrayim?
I don't want to preempt anything.
No, why not? Why not?
It'd be nice if you can. A cup, when you put it in the cup, the hand is open.
That I didn't see. Okay, yeah. You're on the right track for some of them, for Hashem. You're on the right track for something from the Chasam Sofer, which we'll come to a bit later.
Mekaf right. Kol He'aretzim.
Yeah,
I said it right.
Which is a reference to Mitzrayim, yeah.
He'aretzim, yes. Mekaf Kol He'aretzim.
Oh, okay. At any rate, let's see what the Yalkut Miyamlo says on this. You see, there are a number of different approaches. He says that the Yalkut Miyamlo defines... I'm sorry, I got it the wrong way around. I'm sorry, of course, I got it the wrong way around. Yalkut Miyamlo says that Yad is worse than Kaf, I think he says. Yeah. And he says that, well, I'm not quite sure why, but he defines the Yad as worse than Kaf, others disagree. And he says that Shaul...
The people that wrote that the fillers around Shema must have disagreed, because otherwise they wouldn't have said Kaf.
Yeah, the Kaf called Erickson,
could be. But what the Yalkut Miyamlo says is that Shaul chased David for a much longer period of time than any of the other enemies. I think I mentioned this last week. Other enemies, they had a war here and a war there, but with Shaul, it was relentless. Shaul chased David for years and years and years, and we discussed last week for how long, and we didn't really know. But it seems that Shaul was after David for a longer period of time. That's how he learns. Of course, that doesn't explain the change, why it changes from Shmuel Beis, where it's written as Mekaf Shaul, to Shmuel... To Tehillim, we've got Miyad Shaul. Okay, Eved Hashem, the Yalkut Miyamlo's comments on the word Eved Hashem, he says, not only am I an Eved, I'm an Eved who is Aniyavdecha ben Amosecha, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Kuf Tezayin, Pasuk Tezayin, but he says, in Halo, of course, yeah, he says, Aniyavdecha, Ona Hashem ki Aniyavdecha, Aniyavdecha ben Amosecha. Not only am I an Eved, but I'm an Eved who's the son of an Omar, a maidservant. So I'm really lowest of the low.
Really lowly.
Oh, I'm really lowly. And if you think that that's a recipe for disaster, quite the opposite. Pitachto lemoseiroi. You have undone, you've released my bonds, where I've been tied up and I've been under pressure. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have released me from being in chains. So, being an Eved of Hashem, he says, I'm absolutely thrilled and delighted to be an Eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because being an Eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and being an Eved, the son of an Omo, puts me, is really a fantastic situation to be in. Pitachta Lemeseiro. So here we have Le'Eved Hashem, so David is delighted to be an Eved Hashem, of course.
But you can't say that it's lower than being a son, because you can't deny that Hashem is our father, our king.
Yes.
True.
Yeah, true. But here he refers to himself as an Eved. And on that...
It's descriptive. Most people would consider it to be lower.
A comment on the use of his Loshen. He calls himself Le'Eved Hashem. He doesn't call himself Leven Hashem. Or something like that. I'm Le'Eved Hashem. And nevertheless, you still save me despite that. Oh, the... The Akamim makes one other point on this, and that is, why is Shaul separated from all the other enemies? He says other enemies hated David, and David hated them, like the Plishtim, like Moab, Ammon, Amalek. Shaul may well have hated David, but David never ever hated Shaul. So therefore he separated, because the relationship that David had with the rest of his enemies was a totally different relationship than he had with Shaul. Shaul, he thought Shaul was magnificent, and Shaul was the Mashiach Hashem, he was the anointed one of Hashem. David refused to touch him, I would never kill him. Shaul was trying to kill David. David never made any attempt on Shaul's life. He had the opportunity, which he declined. On more than one occasion, David could have killed Shaul and did not. He said, how dare I lay a finger on this great tzaddik? So, therefore, Shaul is singled out from the rest of the enemies. Okay.
How would the rest of the enemies not then just run away?
Run away, absolutely. Which is what he did. Yep.
The story of the cave.
He cut the corner off the robe to show Shaul, you see, I don't mean any harm, I could have killed you, I didn't kill you. He was with Avner at the time. I think it was Avner. It was either Avner or Yoav. No, it was Yoav. He was with Yoav, and Avner at that time was still with on Shaul's side. That's it, isn't it? You alright? Shall I get you a towel?
No,
okay. The Gemara says in Mert Kotten, Dr. Zayin on the base, the Gemara bring comments on the pasuk in Shmuel Beis. Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, our pasuk in Shmuel Beis, chapter beginning of chapter Kapis, where David, La Hashem Estivei Hashira, he sings this song. What's that song all about? Being rescued from the clutches of Shaul and from the other enemies. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu criticized David for that, and the Gemara explains that Omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu le David. Shira ato omer amah palosa shel Shaul. Are you singing a song at Shaul's downfall? That now that Shaul has died, are you singing a shira for that? That's no way to react. El mole ato Shaul v'hu David. If only you would have been Shaul and he Shaul would have been David. If you would have swapped roles, ibadati kama David mipanov, then I would have destroyed many Davids in front of him. In other words, If you and Shaul would have swapped places, who says I would have saved your life? I would have favoured Shaul. In other words, he's saying to David, Shaul is a tremendous tzaddik, and what right do you have to sing a shira? And it's described as a shira, Stuvi Hashira has this. What right do you have to sing a shira at the downfall of Shaul, even though his downfall means that your life is now saved? Based on that, because of that Gemara in Mer Kotten Tesai Nama Base, based on that, the beginning of Tehillim chapter Zion is Shigoyen LeDavid, a mistake by David, Asher Shaul Hashem, because he sang to God, Al Divrei Chush Ben Yimini, about Cush the son of Yimini. We learned this chapter about 100 years ago, and one of the pshatim on that pasuk is that it's a reference to Shaul's death. But because, and who is this Cush Ben Yamini is a reference to Shaul. He's Cush because Cush means a black person, and a black person has unusual skin, and Shaul was an unusual man because he was such a tzaddik. Yeah? So that's why Shaul is described as Cush. Like a black man is unusual, so too Shaul was unusual for his tzidkus, and Ben Yamini because he came from the tribe of Benjamin. So this is the song that David sang then, Al Divrei Chush Ben Yamini, is considered a shigoyen, a mistake. So David sang that Shira in Shmuel Beis chapter Kaf Beis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu criticized him for it, whereupon Tehillim chapter Zayin begins shigoyen the David, is a mistake for David. So likewise here, we have this Shira, it's described here again as a Divrei HaShira Azos, but it was David was chastised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for celebrating Shaul's downfall, even though that meant his own salvation.
I'm sure that David just sang a song thanking Hashem for saving his life. I don't think it was for a celebration of the death of Shaul.
I'm sure that's true, but it looks bad, basically. Akash was saying it looks bad. It looks as though you're celebrating his downfall.
Agreed that this should be canonized. Because how come Kodesh Baruch Hu let David HaMelech include this in the Seder of Tehillim?
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah? Good kasha. He was criticized for it.
Something for us to learn from, obviously.
We
have to learn from it.
It's not for David Tamela's benefit,
our benefit.
Of course. Okay, the Al Sheikh on our pasuk brings a whole in his normal style. He brings four kashas in a row, right? He often the Al Sheikh very often brings many many kashas and then answers them with one big teretz which answers all of them. So he starts off by saying, why does David refer to himself as both Eved and also David? He says, Lamnatzech, Le Eved Hashem, a song sung by the servant of God, Le David, by David. Why do we need both? Why does David need to be described both by name, Le David, and also by the title Le Eved? Kasha number one. Kasha number two, why is it Bayom? Bayom Hitzil Hashem, on the day that God saved him. Why not just say Behatzil Hashem also, when God saved him? What? Why the emphasis on Yom? Why has it got to be a day? And I'm not sure if I understood the answer to that particular detail. Likewise, he brings, why is Shaul separated out? Why is Shaul singled out from the rest of the enemies? Kasha that we now know. And also, why is it that Shaul is placed here as the punchline to the posuk? He's saved from all his enemies and from the hand of Shaul, as though Shaul is the... He's the punchline. David didn't attain true peace of mind until he detained peace from Shaul, more so than until he detained peace from his enemies. So Shaul seems to be a bigger threat, as we said, than the other enemies. So he explains as follows. The Al-Sheikh Derech in this passage is as follows. He says that a person requires two types of Shmira. A tzaddik requires shmira from a virus, and everybody needs shmira, safety. The person shouldn't be killed, or they shouldn't suffer any kind of physical, exactly. Physical protection, which will cover everybody. But a tzaddik is also particular that he shouldn't suffer spiritually. So he says as follows, the wars that David fought against all his other enemies, David was scared merely of being killed. Whereas the wars that he fought against Shaul, David had an extra fear. He was scared of being killed by Shaul, but he had one other overriding fear, and that was he might kill Shaul. And he was more worried about killing Shaul than he was worried about being killed by Shaul. That comes, by the way, from the Medrash HaTov back in Tehillim chapter Zion. So he says as follows, our pasuk echoes both of these types of shmira. The fact that he calls himself an Eved Hashem, that goes along with the requirement for spiritual protection. I'm an Eved Hashem, I want to be protected spiritually. And that refers to his fear of Umiyad Shaul, of killing Shaul, which would have been a terrible spiritual blow. To kill Shaul would have been a spiritual blow to David. So Le'evet Hashem goes hand in hand with the idea of being protected from Sha'ul, Umiyad Sha'ul, because that's talking about spiritual protection. He didn't want to fall into the trap of killing Sha'ul. The fact that David is referred to by name, Le'David, well, that's all about physical protection. He needed physical protection, and that's a reference to the other enemies, Mekaf Kol Oivav, from the palm of all his enemies. And that's the spiritual protection, because he didn't want to be killed by those other enemies. But with Sha'ul, there's this extra fear, he didn't want to kill Sha'ul, and that was a spiritual fear that killing such a tzaddik like Sha'ul would be a terrible spiritual blow to David.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says that David did not sing this Shira until Sha'ul had died. Because the death of, I think that's correct, yeah, or being saved from the hand of Sha'ul, I got that wrong. Until David felt safe from the risk that he might kill Sha'ul, until that moment he didn't sing the Shira, because that was the overriding fear, greater fear than any other fear, greater than his own fear of being killed, was his fear of killing Sha'ul. But once he was saved Umiyad Sha'ul from the hand of Sha'ul, then he felt now and only now can I sing the Shira to celebrate the fact that I'm safe. And it was a spiritual safety that was overriding.
How does this relate to the idea that you can only sing the Bnei Yisrael were permitted to sing the Shira because they were directly affected by it, and that those people who are not
Malachim couldn't sing.
And the Malachim couldn't sing because they weren't physically directly affected. And it's come up recently with the issue of Osama bin Laden, where they were permitted to be pleased about his downfall, and some rabbis have said that maybe if you were actually there in Manhattan and you saw the plane go into the towers, or you were directly affected by it, then you were allowed to celebrate. But those people further away from either in terms of relationships or geographically, those people are further away, not permitted to celebrate.
I'll add one other thing that Rabbi Cohn said in his shir Monday night a week ago. I think he said this. He said that first of all, we've got a pasuk bin folo yivchal tismach. When your enemy falls, don't celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one thing. But he added one thing. He said, for sure we celebrate the removal of a Russia from the world. For sure we do. But one thing bothers us. We are, and this is it sounds a strange thing to say, but hear it out. It makes very good sense. He said that when a Russia dies, or in this case is killed, one thing we do mourn. We mourn the fact that he died whilst still a Russia, that he didn't do teshuvah. While a Russia is still alive, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting and hoping that this man will turn to him and do teshuvah.
Mm-hmm.
But he was killed, still berisho, he wasn't prepared to do teshuvah. And that is something which we are sad about. We are delighted that the Russia has gone.
Mm-hmm.
We are sad that he never did teshuvah and that he left this world while still a Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting take on it, no?
Yeah.
Okay, right, let's come on to...
Yeah,
exactly, yeah, he wasn't going to do teshuvah, was he? Yeah, he carried on, he was still speaking out against America and against Yiffin and everything, yeah. Okay, right, let's come on to this comparison of the two phrases here, mikaf, where in Shmuel, base it's got the expression mikaf kol ovov u'mikaf shol, and in our pasuk we've got mikaf Kol Ovav Umiyad Sha'ul. Why have we got this difference? Well, first a quick thing about this word kaf. The word kaf is a fascinating word. It came up in yesterday's Sedra in Shvi, talking about the kalim used on the Mizbeach, the kapos, the spoons. The word kaf means a spoon. It also has means, that's it. Have we spoken about it here before? That's exactly it. The word kaf also means the palm of the hand, which is we've got in our pasuk. It also is used meaning the sole of a foot. Yeah. Kapos raglov is a pasuk somewhere, I think, and I can't remember where. The soles of his feet. Kapos raglov. And it's also used Oh, and the spoon. There you are, spoon.
And in English, we have the expression "cup your hand."
Cup, a cup.
Yes, a cup your hand.
Yeah, a cup. Exactly. The idea, the word "cup" really describes the shape, and the shape is, and here's another English word that comes from the Hebrew, concave. Concave, cave. Yeah, is the shape of the palm, which is indented. The shape of the sole of the foot, which is indented, and the shape of a spoon, which is indented. So this is a cupola. Is that the right pronunciation? A cupola, a dome. Yeah, dome. Yeah, is a couple. Yeah, sure. Kippah. Yeah, is a kippah is a dome. That's exactly the shape of it. Yeah. So there we are. And a cup, concave, cupola, concave. All these words are all related. Okay. So at any rate, we have this in Shmuel Beis. It's got umikaf shol, and now we've got umiyad shol. So we already looked. So let me tell you a pshat from the Chasam Sofer. This is an amazing pshat, and this is what you were touching on before. The hand. What's the difference between yod and kaf? Yod is used for giving and taking. You can give something with your hand, and you can take something with your hand. The kaf, you can only receive. Come with that, Kasha. The kaf is primarily used for receiving, a receptacle. Yeah, it's a receptacle. It's concave to receive something. Right? So it's generally used for receiving something. Says the Chasam Sofer, I've got to think this through to get this right. Yod is two ways, giving and taking. Kaf is one way, receiving only. Says the Chasam Sofer, when it came to the enemies of Shaul, Oivov, David was scared of being killed by his enemies. He was not scared of killing his enemies. Therefore, when it comes to the enemies, it was one-way fear only. Mikaf kol Oivov. Like the kaf, the palm is used for one thing only, receiving. So David was scared of being killed by his enemies, and he was not scared of killing his enemies. He only had the one fear. Therefore, for enemies, we use the word kaf, which is only has one purpose, to receive. With Shaul, he had a double fear. He was scared of being killed by Shaul, and as we said earlier, he was even more scared of killing Shaul. So with Shaul, he uses the word miyad, umiyad Shaul, because the yad is used for two things, for giving and taking. So for when it came to Shaul, David had two fears. So he used the word yad, two fears, giving and taking. Fear of killing, fear of being killed. With the enemies of David, he was only scared of being killed. He wasn't scared of killing them, he was only scared of being killed, and therefore he uses the word kaf. That is the pshat brought by the Chasam Sofer. I give another thank you to my son Yaakov Chaim, who found an old, tattered, bashed up Chasam Sofer on Tehillim, which was Hefka, and he made a kinyan on it and gave it to me, and then he didn't just do that, he actually repaired it for me as well. Very good of him. So there. And I told this over to my son Yaakov Chaim, I told this walked over to him, and straight away he had your kasha. He said, what, a kaf is used for giving as well. And the palm is also used for giving, right? You stretch your hand out so the Oni can take from it.
Yeah.
First Mishnah in Shabbos discusses putting your hand out of the Rosh HaYochid into the Rosh HaRabim, with your hand outstretched for the Oni to take it. And then Yaakov Chaim said to me, in the Pasuk in Mishlei, chapter Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Kaf, in Eshet Chayim, Kapa Porosa Le'Oni, a hand is stretched out to the poor person. So you see that the Kaf is used for giving as well. Kasha on the Chasam Sofer. Nice Kasha? Good. The Art Scroll's got a different approach to this. The Art Scroll, and I don't know where it could well be, it came from...
The thing with this, though,
is
you still need the other, like with the first Mishnah of Shabbos, you still need the other person to do their bit.
To take it.
It can't be a complete
delivery.
Delivery.
Yeah.
Whereas the whole thing, for using the whole yard, you can do a complete delivery.
That's a good terrace, isn't it?
Oh, very nice terrace. Oh, Yaakov Chaim, I hope you hear that terrace. Okay. The Art School's got another pshat. He says that to be in the enemy's palm is worse than to be in the enemy's yod. Okay? Somehow you're more in the enemy's grasp if you're within their cuff than if you are within the enemy's yod. Okay? Therefore, in Shmuel Beis, David celebrates, I'm not in the cuff of Sheol, I'm not in the palm of Sheol, I'm still scared of Sheol. I'm still scared of Sheol. Why? Either because Sheol may well still have been alive, but I'm actually not sure about that. I'm not sure if he was actually. He says he was still scared, but he still had some fear of Sheol. But the fear was not so great. David was celebrating, I'm no longer in Sheol's cuff. I may still be in Sheol's yod. So he couldn't say Umiyad Sheol because he wasn't totally free of Sheol or Sheol's supporters. And therefore, he could merely celebrate not being within the cuff of Sheol, which is a much worse grip. I'm not in Sheol's worst grip, but I can't yet celebrate being totally free of Sheol. Whereas here, and that was the Shira that David composed much earlier in his life. Here in Tehillim it changes. Why? Because this was written right at the end of David's life, where he was totally free, even from Sheol's yod, even from his hands, and therefore he could celebrate all the more. I'm not merely no longer in Sheol's cuff. Now, at the end of David's life, he can say, I'm not even in Sheol's yad. That's the point. I'm even freer from Sheol. That's how the Outskill translates it. And the Abarbanel, of course, that's the Abarbanel, not the Abarbanel on Tehillim. I don't know if there is Abarbanel on Tehillim. The Abarbanel in Shmuel, he says a simple answer. He says, in Shmuel Beis, David is saying this tefillah, or the Shira, I'm no longer in the cuff of Sheol, my enemies, and I'm no longer in the cuff of Sheol. Here, it's poetry. In Tehillim, it's more poetry than it is in Shmuel. And for poetic reasons, it changes the word. It's bad poetic style to reuse the same word. And therefore, in Shmuel, he says, "Mekaf kolov of mekaf shol." Whereas here, he simply says, he changes it, "Mekaf kolov of umiyad shol," simply for poetic, if you can hang on 2 minutes, we'll finish the whole pasuk. If you can, if you can't. Yeah? Yeah? Okay. So, this is just for poetry. Right. One last thing here from the Balaturim. The Balaturim points out that we have a pasuk in Devarim chapter, is the Balaturim in Devarim chapter Yuzayin Pasuk Kaf, which is all about Malchus. The pasuk there says, the Vilti Rum Levavim Me'echov, the king is not allowed to exalt his heart over his brethren. Or the Vilti Sumna Mitzvah, not to turn away from commandments. Yomim the small, not to the right, not to the left. The Manyarech Yomim Al Mamnachtas, he should lengthen his days with his kingdom. Hu Uvanov the care of Yisrael, he and all his children in the midst of Yisrael. Says the Balaturim on that pasuk. That pasuk, talking about a king, begins with the Lamed and ends with the Lamed. And the letter Lamed is very significant for Malchus. Why? Three things. First of all, the kings came from the tribe of Yehuda. And the gematria of the word Yehuda, 30. So the Lamed is significant for kings. Secondly, we have a Mishnah in Pekei Avos, which tells us that and it's Pasuk Mishnah Hey, Gedolah Surah Yosem and Akuna Omina Malchus. Torah is greater than Kuhuna and also than king, than royalty. Why? Shamalchus Niknes Bishloshim Malos. A king has 30 privileges. And the Mefarshim list what those 30 privileges are. So another significance on the letter Lamed. Likewise, when David became king over Klal Yisrael, it's recorded, it's in Shmuel Beis, it's chapter Hey Pasuk Dalet, that Ben Shloshim Shana David Bamolcha, David became king at the age of 30. So the letter Lamed is a very significant number for kings. And our Pasuk has no fewer than three words which begin with the letter Lamed. Lamnat Seach, Le'eved, Hashem, Le'David. So we've got three words which all begin with the letter Lamed, because the three Lameds, the Gematria of Yehuda, the 30 privileges that a king has, and the fact that David became king at the age of 30.